Business owners take on different risks than people who are employees. They shoulder the burden of sales and operations and people and meeting payroll. And they also have to think differently about how to save for retirement, especially if they keep most of their assets in the business. Now, one solution could be something called a personal pension plan. Jean-Pierre Laporte is the CEO of Integris Pension Management Corp. He joins us now from Toronto to talk more about that. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce.
What is a personal pension plan?
Personal pension plan is a registered pension plan that offers three components or three accounts under one single roof. It offers what we call a traditional defined benefit pension, a defined contribution pension, and additional voluntary contribution. So a lot of jargon, but what it is, it's a very flexible pension plan structure that allows you to put monies in these three accounts depending on your situation.
And who is it for? Who is the ideal client to get a personal pension plan?
The perfect client would be a business owner that has family members on the payroll. So a multi-generational type of structure where mom and dad might have started the business and then the adult children are now picking up and working and are part of the on the payroll of the company.
And how big a company does it need to be in order for it to make sense?
Well, you could have a single employee in a single person company. Like imagine a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant that has a professional corporation and no other employees. It could be as low as one single employer plan member.
And is the amount of assets that that corporation have, is that a part of the equation as to whether or not it pays out, or is that irrelevant?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a savings vehicle. So if you can't make payroll, if you can't, you know, pay your suppliers for the stuff they deliver to your door, then you don't really have any money to put towards retirement or for savings. So for those marginal companies that are barely making it, then of course this would not be appropriate. In fact, no solution would be appropriate.
Mm.
But if you do have some surplus you're generating and you're trying to reduce your tax burden, that's where we come in.
So draw the difference here between a personal pension plan and an RRSP, where the corporation pays out a salary such that it triggers income and that person then can save inside an RRSP. And then I guess the third option, which would be a corporate investment account, and they can leave the retained earnings and grow the retained earnings over the course of time and then just pay themselves dividends up until the time that they pass. What does the personal pension plan give that is better than those, the second and third options that I mentioned?
Okay, well, let's start PPP versus RRSP. So with an RRSP, you get one single tax deduction, right? 18% of your earned income up to a limit. $27,830, I think, is this year. That's it. One single deduction. With a PPP, you get seven deductions, not one. And each one is bigger than the next one. So you can easily triple the amount of tax assistance you have under a PPP than what you have with an RRSP. So it's not a fair fight between the two solutions.
When in the life cycle does a business owner need to set this up? Because I think you probably got some of our listeners out there are like, what? I had no idea. Oh my gosh. And I'm 50 or 60. Is it too late for them? Or can they convert the assets that they are saving? And maybe it's in ETFs or stocks or whatever in an investment account inside the corporation. Can they, you know, port that over? Yeah. Or is it really designed for someone who's just getting into it?
No. So we have people who, the legal age to start into a PPP is, the limit is 71. So we've had a couple of 71-year-olds sign up for PPPs. And you might think, well, that's counterintuitive. Why would you sign up when you have to stop contributing and then you have to start drawing a pension at 71? Makes no sense. Well, the reason why they did it is because they were able to recognize 30 years of past service, all the years in which they were collecting a salary from the business, they could do a catch-up payment, and that was funded out of corporate dollars. So that creates massive corporate tax deductions for the company. And then some of them have children that were on the payroll. So they were made members of the plan with the, in this case, the father. And so when the father passes away, instead of having what's called a deemed disposition and these millions of dollars being subjected to tax the way they will be under an RRSP or a RIF, in a PPP, that money becomes pension surplus. And the children that are members of the plan will now get that surplus without the tax. Mm. So you could save the family millions of dollars in taxes.
Wow. Now, the other dynamic, which I think is relevant, is that a PPP allows you to invest in a broader spectrum of ideas. An RRSP, it's limited in some ways. You can't invest in private equity, for example, in an RRSP. Tell us more about what else is available to someone who is saving for retirement in a PPP.
Yeah, so this is perhaps one of the most exciting aspects of the PPP is because it's a registered pension plan, it's governed by what we call the federal investment rules. So these are the rules that govern all of the large institutional, the multi-billion dollar pension plans that we're familiar with, like the Teachers Pension Plan of Ontario, OMERS, GM. These big boys invest in all kinds of stuff that you and I with RRSPs cannot invest in. Like, for example, the 407 highway or an airport in Australia.
I invest in the 407 highway every time I take it and the transponder goes beep, beep.
So that's what happens is they can have access to these projects, these private equity or real estate, farmland. Think of farmland. Wouldn't that be great if you're a farmer and you could buy the plot of land next to your farm for farming purposes? Can't do that with an RSP. It's not eligible. Imagine selling that farmland after a few years of farming it to a developer who's going to put a subdivision, and you get millions of dollars for your land. Imagine having that tax-free because it's a pension plan. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you can do with a PPP that you cannot do with an RRSP.
How much does it cost to set this sort of thing up? It seems more involved than just, opening up an RRSP or a TFSA at a discount broker at a robo-advisor.
Yeah, so luckily in Ontario, the provincial government passed a law called Bill 213, which became effective on December the 8th of last year, 2020. And this law says that if you are a shareholder of your own company, let's say you own 10% or more of the shares of your company, when you sign up for a PPP, it's not subject to any of the provincial restrictions. So you don't have to fund the plan if you don't want to. The money is not locked in, so you can access your money at any time. You don't have to file documents with the province. So the compliance burden that you were talking about has dramatically shifted and been reduced thanks to this new legislative change.
But I assume there are fees, like a company like yours. What would it be? $5,000 to set it up? $20,000?
No, we actually waived all setup fees 8 years ago when we started. That used to be the practice in the industry when you set up a plan like this. We decided that we would be different and we would waive that. And we would only charge you an annual fee that's all encompassing, that takes care of all the administration, actuarial. So the fee, it depends. I mean, we have some of our partners that invest monies for our clients, they cover our fee. So for some people, the cost of a PPP is zero. But not every portfolio manager wants to do that, right? They want to make the money. They don't want to give it.
Can you compare it to, so the fee world that people who invest traditionally in an RSP, what they would be used to is a fee-based world. And if they've got $1 million, that's about 1%. So put it into that context. If instead you're doing a PPP, what's the carry going to be?
Well, the fee would be, let's say it's 1% because Integris doesn't manage the assets. We partner with discretionary portfolio managers, investment advisors to manage the assets of the PPP for our clients. We don't manage the assets. So whatever they charge could be 1%, could be less, could be more depending on the type of asset class you're in. But what's really important, Bruce, is that because of these 7 additional tax deductions that the PPP unlocks, that you didn't have access to with an RRSP, the tax savings and the tax refunds that generates covers our fees multiple times over.
Right.
So in real terms, There is no fee for a PP. In fact, it's putting money in your pocket. It's a negative fee. It's a fee that we're wiring you money in your bank account from the CRA after you paid us.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's why most people say it's too good to be true.
Yeah, well, that phrase can be problematic. So let's just say if you're a business owner, and in particular, a business owner of a multi-generational business, this is something you want to learn more about. Jean-Pierre, thank you for your insight. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Jean-Pierre Laporte is the CEO of Integris Pension Management Corp. And he was here to talk about something called personal pension plans, which I got to tell you, we don't talk about very often, but it can be a tax-efficient alternative to either a traditional RRSP or, for those people who have an investment account as a part of their corporation, to paying themselves in dividends or salary well into retirement. Fascinating stuff.